Hello, this is Laura with another Sweet Insight. Today we're going to be talking about implementing a global customer, and I'm very pleased to be speaking with Tim. He was our 2011 Professional Service Consultant of the Year, and Tim does work out of our NetSuite office over in the UK. So good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Laura.
Good morning. So I think one of the first things I'd like to do is NetSuite Implementation Consultant is a big title. And when you're involved on a project, can you give us an insight into what your objectives are as part of the implementation project?
My objective as part of the implementation project is to deliver to the client a solution that's going to fit their requirements now and into the future. That sounds like a lot of words, but I can even cut that down into just two words, and that's happy clients. Happy clients who have software that they can use. So happy clients is always my overriding objective.
Excellent. I think we'll get down into the details of how it is you keep those clients happy, but I'd like to understand a little bit about a specific project. It happened for, I guess, half of last year. You were involved in a significant implementation for a global company. And approximately how long was your involvement? How many months were you working on it?
My involvement was just over 6 months.
My goodness. And this was a combination of working out of the UK and then being at the customer location?
Correct, yeah. I was commuting. It was an American client, so I was commuting to America. It was basically on a two-week on, two-week off rotation. I mean, I was working full-time on the project, but I was 2 weeks on-site, 2 weeks back home, 2 weeks on-site, 2 weeks back home. As we got towards the end of the project, I did spend more time or greater lengths of time on-site. So I think in the last month, I don't think I came home at all.
And if I remember correctly, that even when you were back in the UK, you really had aligned your hours with the US hours. This was out on the East Coast, and so you were working their hours, but over in the UK. Is that correct?
Basically, yes. Yes.
And so being able to, even though you were a few thousand miles away, the beauty of once again working in the cloud, you could be remote but still being a very integral part of the implementation team.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I could attend meetings. I mean, we were doing it all on the cloud. We're all phoning using VoIP and what have you. It was all very easy. There was no downtime. You know, I was always available to them.
Well, maybe you can give us a little bit of an idea without naming the client. Tell us more about their profile, how big they are, some of their considerations, etc.
Okay. As you said, it was a very large client. It was a client who adopted NetSuite for a number of reasons. It was a client who had a very or an extremely aggressive rollout schedule. When I say they're a large client, I mean they're in a lot of locations. The project, as I said, was run out of their head office, but we were implementing NetSuite in different countries, and we did this in phases. So each phase we would have, I think there were three phases that we went through in that 6 months, and each phase had smaller, I'm trying to think of the word that we used, my mind's gone blank, but each phase had smaller chunks that we did. So for each chunk there may have been three countries go live. So phase one may have had in all up 30 countries, and so each chunk, each week, would have been 10 or so countries go live per week. So it was a rolling schedule, I guess is the word that I'm trying to,
okay.
To use.
Mm-hmm. And so a phased rollout over time with lots of different milestones as part of the project plan.
Yes, what we did was we had a templated approach, so we couldn't have, I mean, as I said, I think we rolled out to 72 different countries. We couldn't have 72 different projects running at once. That just would have been a logistical nightmare. So what we did was we created a project template. So in any week, as I said, there was it was a 6-week cycle for each country for from go live. So 10 countries, say, would start their go live, let's say, this week, and then they'd be going live in 6 weeks. So that would have their own project. So we would have tasks. So on week one, we would assign all these tasks to the key people in that in that location, and they would have to come back and get them done. And then on week two, they'd have a next round of tasks to week three, etc. So we always knew wherever we were in the phase. We always knew where we were. But yeah, so it was a phased approach. But the interesting thing was, like I said, there was different chunks within each phase. So, you know, you might be working on chunk one, you know, that'd be at week one, but chunk two might be at week three. It was easy to manage. I mean, it sounds like a logistical nightmare, but it was actually easy to manage, and we always knew where we were at any given time.
Because a lot of planning and prep went into it at the front of the project. Yes. And since you did mention 72 different countries, I know you were flying back and forth to the U.S. Were there teams that were out in those different countries working on the project, or did everything get brought into the U.S. headquarters?
No, their project team was based in their head office as well. They did employ, so for each location, there were local resources that were used for their terms of the project, and they were involved at various points. But from their perspective, it was managed from their head office.
And so that's
local people were involved in their own implementation. That is a true statement. But they were given very prescribed tasks to do as part of the project.
Okay, so that leads into what would be a next good question to ask you. If we think about the different people, what were the roles in the organization involved with the implementation project and part of the project team?
Okay, good question. We had. First and foremost, the most important role that we had there, not necessarily the biggest, but the most important, was that we had a board-level project champion. Okay, we had, because it's such a large organization, we needed somebody at the board level who was vocal, who was championing the project. Had we not had that, it would have failed. So we had that person. They were very proactive. They didn't have a lot of day-to-day tasks to do with the project, but they were very vocal. So we reported problems to that person. So they were always up to date. They were very proactive, and they were very. He was very proactive with us. So if we were behind, or you know, if we'd not responded to something, and when he thought we should have, he'd chase us up. So he was very, very proactive. But from our perspective, he was good because if there were issues on site, you know, at those local countries where it was being rolled out, he was quite a senior person. He could get on the phone and get that problem fixed immediately, and that was very important. Had we not had that, it would have failed. We would not have been able to meet that aggressive rollout schedule. Beyond that, we also had with us in the head office, we also had their project manager. Now that person was working 100% full-time on the project. Their role was basically interfacing with the people on the ground in all the different countries. So although we did some interfacing with them as well, it was the project manager who did that mostly. Okay, so he identified who the local resources were.
Right.
He set up the initial communication with them. He set their expectations. He set our expectations with them. That was the project manager or their project manager's role to do that. We also had some technical resources on their side that assisted us with technical, things like data extraction from legacy systems, but also integration pieces with their other systems.
And on the NetSuite side, there were a number of different representatives from professional services. You came over from the UK. What were some of the other roles on the NetSuite side?
We had some professional service consultants from the US. We had a project manager who was US-based. My expertise was with the UK and Europe, so I was brought on to assist with the implementation in the European in Europe and the UK for this customer. But I also got involved with the US implementation towards the end as well. So, yeah, I think on our side, we also had some technical resources that were working with the client's technical resources. So, again, same sort of thing, helping us with integration pieces, helping us with getting NetSuite to talk with other legacy systems.
And did you find that on both sides, on each team and then inter-team communication, did you stay on top of the change management and consistent communication throughout the project?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. That was excellent. There were no issues. Remarkably, there were no issues with that at all. The communication, we all worked together beautifully. As I alluded to before, there were occasionally some issues with local people. Not responding well to our requests. But as I said, we had the project champion who could always fix that. So whenever that occurred, we escalated it immediately to the project champion. It was fixed usually within the hour. Of anything cropping up, it was fixed. But the relationship between us as our professional services people and with the client's project team was absolutely top-notch, excellent.
Oh, that's very, very good to hear. So
yeah.
You've mentioned a couple of times minor challenges. What were some of the challenges that were faced in this implementation project, and how did you go about conquering them?
The aggressive rollout, as I said, the biggest challenge was the aggressive rollout. I mean, when you look at a project that size, and you'd say, how long do I need this to do this? You know, you'd be stretching out for years. That obviously wasn't workable, so you know, we rolled it out very, very quickly. To do that, we needed a motivated client. We needed a client who was willing to throw the required resources at it, and they did that. It was absolutely brilliant. So, getting that done was brilliant. There's always change management. We had a few change management issues, and as I said, having the board level project champion help resolve all of those. Having change management, having the change explained to people, can assist with change management in so many ways. Having the project sold internally is critical to the success of it. I cannot overstate that. People have to be brought on board. They have to see the change as a positive. It is going to be work for them. I can't deny that. But they have to see that the change is going to be positive. So in other words, they need to know what benefit it's going to bring them right from the outset of the project, or else they're just going to cross their arms and be against it.
Because that gets down to human nature being somewhat resistant to change. So that's why change management is
Correct.
So important.
Correct.
And yes, go ahead.
We did occasionally have a couple of language problems, as you would expect.
Okay.
You know, rolling it out over 60-odd countries around the year, there were some language issues. Sometimes things took a little longer to get understood than they might have. Had we all been speaking the same language. Nothing that major.
Great. And from a personal, professional standpoint, what did you learn and take away from this particular project?
I took away that NetSuite is absolutely fantastic. I mean, I've been working at NetSuite for 8 years, and this project, NetSuite did things that I would never imagine that it would have been able to do. And it did it well, and I just couldn't believe it. It never ceases to amaze me how brilliantly flexible and NetSuite is. The things that we made it do were just incredible.
Well, I think that is fabulous, and it's sort of a nice segue for those of you that are listening to this podcast. I will be talking to another one of our NetSuite employees in regards to change management. So it's a podcast you may want to tune into, and that's developing an end user adoption strategy. But for this particular session, I would very much like to thank you, Tim, for giving us some insight on implementing a large global customer. And we didn't outright say it, but this was a customer that was referred to as a one world multi-subsidiary customer, hence the multiple countries, all the different phases, etc. And so, Tim, it has been a pleasure. Thank you so much for your time, and we'll look forward to talking to you again. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you, Laura. Thank you.
Bye-bye.